you, if you would open them to the book of, just a moment here, got the wrong glasses. All right. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Revelation chapter 6, and we're going to pick up where we left off. We left off where the Lord is opening the seals, and we've come to the fifth seal. And it says in verse 9, "And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain, listen, for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and of their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed." Brother Terry, would you ask a blessing upon this word, please?
Oh, Father, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can come together and hear this message that is truth in your word. Father, I pray that your anointing fall upon Terry. Let him speak boldly the truth of what is to come. And this we ask in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. So again, we are looking at the seal judgments. And of course, these start the opening of the tribulational period that's coming upon this earth. And what I want you to see is one of the things that happens here to the tribulational saints can kind of be seen in type and shadow in the history of all of God's, not only church, but his people Israel, and the things that happened in, especially in the ancient days. Remember that Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, verse 26, "As it was in the days of Noah, so will it also be in the days of the Son of Man." But he also said, "As it would be like it was in the days of Lot as well." Well, you remember what it was like in the days of Lot. If you studied your Old Testament scriptures, you know, Lot lived in Sodom. It says the things that were going on there vexed his righteous soul daily. Sodom was destroyed because of its wickedness. Well, in Noah's day, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, gives us the atmosphere of why judgment came upon the people then too. And it says, "And then the Lord saw the wickedness of man, that it was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually." Romans chapter 1 describes the wrath of God that's poured out in a world when the people openly defy and rebel against God. And this is going to be escalated, you know, on a grander scale when we reach this period of time of the tribulation. But I want to read Romans chapter 1, verse 22 through 32. It says, "First of all, they professing to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things." That was their idols. "Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies amongst themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator." Who's the creature? It's man. And they serve him rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. "For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for that which is for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving themselves the penalty of the error which is due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, and disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Now, you would think that I was reading that out of the front newspaper, you know, the headline articles. But in Romans chapter 1, what you see is a sequence of what happens to the nations or peoples that abandon God. When they abandon God, God abandons them. Notice in verse 24, it says, God gives them over to the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies. Lets them do it. And the second thing that happens is found in verse 26, where he says, God gave them over to worse, vile passions. Vile passions. Then the third thing, in verse 28, God gave them over to a debased mind or depraved mind. Depraved mind. A depraved mind is a mind that doesn't function right. It's just not right. There is a lunacy, folks. There is absolute lunacy in the minds of men today as a result of their rejection of God. I never thought I would see the day where I would see parents allow their children to be read to by transgender men dressed inappropriately, half naked, committing lewd acts before those children. We're seeing this on a massive scale today, this craziness. Did you ever think in all the years that you were alive that you would reach a day where they would be teaching kindergartners how to change their biological sex? It's crazy. It's lunacy. John MacArthur said this. He said, a depraved mind is the original language, in the original language, is one that is tested and found useless and is therefore disqualified for its intended use. The reasoning faculty has been corrupted by the influences that surround it. A depraved mind, its reasoning faculty is so corrupt that it must be rejected as non-functioning. And one of the other things I want you to notice too is that one of the characteristics of depraved mind is that they're haters of God. We're living in a time where there's an outpouring of the wrath of God upon the whole country, upon all the world, for abandoning Him. Our culture is, you know, basically, this is not a nation under God like it was intended to be. For the most part, people have departed from God. Sadly, if you go to Europe today, you'll see that there's churches that are closing their doors by the thousands. And it's even becoming so in the United States. Because of COVID, there's many churches that have not yet opened their doors yet. And we have people in churches who are afraid because of so-called tolerance to call things out as being wrong and evil. We live in a day where people refer to immoral person who engages in deviant sexual behavior, homosexuals, things like that. It's a revolution, and we're becoming more open-minded, they say. But the Bible tells us that they are of a reprobate mind when they start thinking that everything is permissive. To the point now where even they are thinking about putting babies to death even after they've been born. We are so corrupted. It's terrible. It's gotten further and further and further away from the things of God. Throughout history, wide-scale homosexuality has always been an indicator that a culture has been abandoned by God. Now, even though that's the case, we as believers are not to be silent. We are to shed light upon the very things that are happening right now. You know, it's interesting. You've got people who say, oh, we've got to be tolerant. You can't say that. You can't be intolerant. I'm telling you right now, folks, you need to get it in your heart and your mind right now. God is not tolerant. He's not tolerant, especially not tolerant of sin. And I want to show you, as believers, what it is that God expects of us. If you'll turn with me, I didn't put this up there, Natalie, so if you would put it up there, it's Psalms 34. In verse 11 and 12 through, let's see, 11 through 14. I might go down to verse 16. But here's the problem. There is no fear of God anymore. No fear of retribution. We have had a spirit enter into the schools, especially, where any mention of God is frowned upon, and they teach lifestyles that are contrary to biblical standards. And it's getting worse, and worse. No fear of God. But for the believer, this is what God says. He says, come, you children, and listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? Who is the man who desires life? Anybody here desire life? And loves many days that he may see good. Keep your tongue from evil and keep your lips from speaking deceit. Look what it says in verse 14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off, abandon the remembrance of them from the earth. People don't want to hear that, do they? Oh, we got to be tolerant, you know. I'm telling you, folks, if you would be tolerant of people coming in and that are transgender, teaching children and reading stories to them, what have you, you'll be tolerant about anything. And God sets forth his standards. He says, thus and thus and thus are evil. And when we say, no, it's good, then we become like those the scripture says, they call evil good and good evil. And we are living in that day. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness, out of that wickedness, and some of those things we once lived in as well, into his marvelous light. Ephesians 5, verse 10 through 13 says, and finding out what is acceptable to God. How do you find out what's acceptable to God? It's in his word. This is the owner's manual. Get to know it. You can find out what's acceptable to God. And it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Does that mean you be tolerant of them? No. But it's out of love you do so. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Again, like I said, there are those who attend church that would say, well, our society cultivates tolerance. And you're giving hate speech. Folks, what we're talking about here is not hate speech. According to a lot of liberal and progressives out there today, if you say anything that's not sanctioned by them, it's called hate speech. Is that tolerance? Is that tolerance? They're tolerant for everybody and everything except Christians and the Word of God. To them, hate speech is affirming deadly and soul-crushing sin. And they mock you and they make fun of you that you're not being culturally sensitive. But we need to be warning people about the wrath that's to come. That is not hate speech. That's love. I have no doubts that a lot of people struggle with their flesh and in a real and powerful way, a lot of the cravings and lusts and desires, I know that they have those things. But being Mr. Nice Guy, folks, isn't loving to them. That really is hate speech. If you love your kids, if you love your family, you be honest with them. You tell them the truth. Remember 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 11 says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And there's a lot of people being deceived in churches today. You got preachers who are filling the pulpits that have no business being in the pulpits. They're not even born again. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were, past tense, some of you, but now you were washed, now you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And the Bible tells in the book of Romans, it says, because of that, you've got to renew your mind. You've got to start thinking differently. You've got to start acting differently. That's the act of repentance. And we as a church exist to proclaim the kingdom of God and the word of God. And because we know there's no other way to be saved except by the saving grace of Jesus Christ, the world mocks and makes fun. But we have been given the keys to the kingdom of God and to the truth of God's word. And we need to hold on to that. We are entrusted to uphold that truth and lovingly share that truth of the word of God with an unbelieving world. That's the ministry of the church. And I'm here to tell you, folks, that if you give your life over to sexual sin, adultery, fornication, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Doesn't mean you might fail sometime. But if you practice it consistently, it shows that you have never been born of the Spirit. Because the Spirit won't allow you to continue in. The Bible says you can't do the things that you would. But the exact opposite is being taught in public schools today. I'm talking about even in private schools. They're teaching doctrines of demons that are being taught. Literally, doctrines of demons. Folks, the devil is at war with our families. He's at war with the children. He's at war with our very own souls. He's at war, especially with the church. And as believers, it's our job to shine the light of truth in that darkness. And when that fifth seal is broken, the tribulational saints who do this very thing that we're talking about will pay for it with their lives. And we know from reading Revelation that there will be a great awakening that will take place during the tribulation. A lot of people will get saved. And there will be many who come to know the Lord, but the first believers of that tribulation period will be highly persecuted. They'll be slain for the word of God and for their testimony which they hold. So that's to say, they are killed for standing up for Christ and his word. The word of God faithfully declared will always bring persecution from the world and from the devil. And like I said, today we see increasing hostility to Christians. And Jesus has promised that those who serve him and walk with him faithfully will experience that. Matthew 24:9 says, and they will deliver you up for tribulation and kill you. And I believe he's speaking prophetically of this day. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And John 16:33, it says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But he says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Again, we see this increasing more and more. Every day, we see Satan's satanic agenda being shaped and formed around us. If you dare speak out in order, if you dare speak out of order on topics, again, such as race, the war in Ukraine, homosexuality, climate change, or the pandemic, you're automatically censored and canceled. But here, just recently, there was a man who attempted to assassinate one of our Supreme Court justices because he was afraid that Judge Kavanaugh would vote to overturn Roe versus Wade. That's the spirit that will be on the people during the tribulation period. This should set off alarm bells for us, folks. The things that are being taught today are not in harmony with Scripture. And we in no way, shape, or form should be accepting it. There's a bill in our legislature right now that would make it a crime for a doctor to refuse hormone therapy for a child wanting to chemically alter their gender by stopping their puberty. It's terrible. It's lunacy. Again, what does this mean? The Bible tells us that God will turn a society over to their reprobate minds and their vile passions, and it's always around sexual deviance, isn't it? Because that's where the devil knows he can get people to fall. This is what happened to our culture, and it's what's happening to the entire world right now. I read a story about Disney and how that they are now intentionally including a character and a message in every one of their new films that shows encouraging homosexuality and transgenderism. Matter of fact, they've just come up with a new movie about Buzz Lightyear. And in this movie, they picture two women getting married and kissing on the screen and having a child. That creates confusion in the little hearts, these children. God did not create us for that. To me, this whole leadership of this company, Disney, needs to be locked up as a child predator. That's my opinion. America has leaped over the boundaries that God has put forth and the restraints of the Word of God. And as a result, God has given people over to these kinds of perversity that seems to be increasing more and more and more. 10 years ago, I would never thought that these things would be happening. Again, when they're called out on this, they react like mad dogs foaming at the mouth. During the tribulation, their hatred for the truth will intensify even more. When the Old Testament priests presented the animal sacrifices, the victims of the blood was poured out over the base of the brazen altar. In the Old Testament imagery, blood represented life. In Leviticus 17:11, it says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for your souls." So here in Revelation, the souls of the martyrs under the altar indicate that their lives were given sacrificially to the glory of God. The saints were slain by the enemy because of their witness of the truth and because of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The forces of Antichrist do not accept this truth, and Satan wants them to be the people who are there to be deceived and accept the lies. Since their murders are still upon the earth, these martyrs are apparently from the early part of the tribulation. But they represent all those who've laid their lives down for the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing it does is it assures us the fact that the souls of these martyrs are in heaven, awaiting the resurrection, and that they are rest and that they are clothed with Christ's righteousness. Verse 10 kind of poses an interesting question. Is it Christian for saints to desire vengeance on their murderers? After all, we have both Jesus and Stephen who prayed that God would forgive those who killed them. The question, though, was not asked whether their enemies would be judged, but how long? How long, O Lord, seems to be the cry of God's suffering people throughout all the ages. In Psalm 74, verse 9 and 10, it says, "We do not see our signs. There is no longer any prophet, nor is there any among us who knows how long. O God, how long will the adversary reproach? Will the enemy blaspheme your name forever?" And then in Psalm 79, verse 5 through 6, it says, "How long, Lord, will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not know you and on the kingdoms that do not call upon your name." And then finally in Psalms 94, in verse 1 through 9, "O Lord, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth, rise up, judge the earth, and render punishment to the proud. Lord, how long will the wicked, how long will the wicked triumph? They utter speech, and they speak insolent things. All the workers of iniquities boast in themselves. They break in pieces your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. Understand, you senseless among the peoples, and you fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? He indeed will. He indeed will one day. The saints in heaven know that God will eventually judge sin and establish righteousness in the earth. But they don't know God's time schedule. Matter of fact, none of us really do. We can certainly see the signs, right? But I don't believe this is personal revenge. I think that, you know, what they're really seeking is a vindication of God's holiness and the establishment of God's justice in his kingdom. Every believer today who prays, "Thy kingdom come," I believe, is echoing their petition here. And the Lord made it clear that these martyrs, he said to them, your sacrifice was more of an appointment. It's not an accident. And there's others who are going to be joining you too. Now, why does God assign some to be martyrs and others not? I don't know. He's sovereign. He's God. You know, and the other thing too is it could be that these saints were Jewish. And under the law, it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. After wars and famine, there will be diseases and sicknesses that are going to run rampant, as we've seen in the earlier seals. The world is going to seek to blame someone. Maybe those who come to Christ during this tribulation, maybe they'll be the scapegoat. Or maybe it will be the Jewish people again. This is not something that's new. In the days of the Black Plague, one out of every four people died. The one group of people who were spared were the Jews. And the reason why is because they simply followed biblical principles of hygiene. But their contemporaries were convinced that they were the reason for the plague. The same is true in the tribulation. Something's going to happen. They're going to be the scapegoat. I find it interesting today that our government today, they're very good at blaming other people instead of taking responsibility for their own actions. But that's going to be the spirit that's going to be on the tribulation period. Amid the sickness, the blood, the economic disharmony, and the war, believers will be martyred. But this is the point where I believe God will begin to intervene. And even before the tribulation, even before Antichrist comes into the world, we're seeing persecution beginning here. It's already here. If you follow organizations like Open Doors or the Voice of the Martyrs, you know that violence against Christians worldwide, it's an all-time high. But even more, there's an active political and social persecution in the United States today, especially during the pandemic. Churches were deemed non-essential, were forced to shut down while Walmart and the big corporations were given a pass. The liquor stores, the pot dispensaries, abortion clinics, all remained open, but the church was deemed non-essential. All the while, the churches who remained open, many of them were raided by the police and tried to be shut down. And the voice of the church for the sanctity of life and for the sanctity of marriage is actively censored or shut down by liberal voices. So it's easy to see why people will be martyred. Again, it's happening right now, and it's happened throughout history. And it's because people, the reason why they're willing to kill and resist the truth is because they are under Satan's control. 1 John 5:19 says, "And we know that we are of God." That's what we are, not only the thing that we know, "and that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." So when we experience the trials and persecutions, that are bound to come, what are we supposed to do? Freak out? Maybe form a militia. Just simply sit around worrying and fretting. All I can tell you is James, I believe, says it best in James 1 and 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why? I think Luke answers that question in Luke 6, verse 22 through 23. Blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. Now I want you to understand this. If somebody comes into this church who has homosexual tendencies, they are welcome to be here, but they are not welcome to practice it here. Same thing with somebody who's transgender. I want to see them get saved. Same thing is true of somebody committing adultery, living in fornication. They need Jesus. But I will in no way, shape, or form condone those behaviors. And that essentially today is the problem with the church. The church is condoning those things under the name of tolerance. And I'm telling you right now that God does not expect you to be tolerant over sin. I just read to you from Psalms 34. Depart from evil and pursue righteousness. That's what God's word says. Now, just because you tell somebody what they're doing is wrong doesn't mean that you hate them. Quite the opposite. Like we've always said, if somebody has a child who's playing out in the road and you go out there and you tell them, get out of the road, you're going to get hit by a car, you're not telling that because you hate them. It's because you care for them and you don't want to see them come to harm. I'm telling you, this world is mixed up in the way it thinks. They call it hate speech. It's not hate speech. It's telling you the truth. Jesus said, when you come to know his word and come to know him in a real personal way, he says, you shall know the truth, and that truth will set you free. Amen. It will indeed. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? If you're here and you've not made that commitment to Jesus Christ, the Bible says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 9-10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Plain and simple, you shall be saved. But we are also called to repent. That means to turn away from our old lifestyle to serve him and accept him. And we're called to bring forth those fruits of repentance, which are those works that show that we truly repented. If you're here today and you've not received Jesus, would you lift your hand right now so I can see you? Anybody at all? And for those